just had a couple words come forward this morning that I just want to release. One was from Melissa. It's Deuteronomy 7, 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations, to those who love him and keep his commandments." And Melissa was just saying that it's God's faithfulness that sets him apart from everything else, from everyone else. God is faithful. And George had a word, he was just hearing just the name of God, El Roy, which means God sees. And he was just saying how he feels like there are, you know, at least maybe people in these kind of two camps, one that have been going through hard times, and God sees that. And he's just saying, don't give up. And there are those that are fighting the good fight and might be growing weary, and it's God saying, I see. I'm going to reward those that seek you. Don't give up. I'm faithful. The reward is coming. And Ben had a word he wanted to share with that as well.
Yeah, so we're talking about God's faithfulness, and I just felt like there were some people here that hear that, and at least part of you is like, well, I've had this bad thing happen or this other bad thing happen, and because, you know, life happens, and it's not all cool stuff. But what we have in front of us is an opportunity to let God define our life and not let our life define God. So I just want to pray that over everybody today that's feeling that, or maybe even if you aren't. We just want to, Father, we just thank you for who you are. And we just thank you that you're the anchor that we have, that no matter what happens, that we can experience everything that you have for us, no matter what circumstances come our way. We just thank you for what you did for us, and we just grab a hold of that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on, amen. Amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Amen. You can find your seats. Julio's going to come. Children, stay in the sanctuary. Can we just appreciate our worship team? I just am so thankful and grateful for them.
Oh, come on. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ted, could you turn the lights on for us? I have some help this morning doing communion. If I could have you come forward and just stand up behind me quickly. You're going to recognize a pattern among these people. Jason, would you hit those lights there on the corner for me? Well, they're coming in the multitudes. If you were asked, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, great. I missed the memo. So beautiful group of people up here, isn't it? Come on. I call this the group of people that make the wheels on the bus go round and round. Okay, they're not the people that you see all the time. These are the Worleys. And they are responsible for children's ministries and Robert, specifically DP Kids. This is the bookends, Desiree and Corinne, and they're responsible for DP Littles. This is Craig, and he's responsible specifically for middle school on Sundays, but also DP Youth. Bev. This is Bev Taylor and Leonel Rosales. Bev is responsible for our welcoming and visitor ministries, and Leonel's responsible for our greeting ministries. Come on. Ben and Danielle, I have this in order. Don't you worry. Y'all be receivers. This is Ben and Danielle, and they're responsible for prayer. They're also, Ben is also responsible for moderating. Danielle's also responsible for midweek prayer that goes on noon. Yeah, come on. This is Rachel. She said, do I have to stand up front? I see Tony cheered her on. She's responsible for administration with me, but she also does lots of other things, but we're talking about Sundays. So I'm gonna, I asked Rachel to come up here about administrations. Do you appreciate Rachel? I appreciate Rachel. This is Daniel and Sarah Patino, and go ahead, you can cheer for them. And Daniel is specifically responsible for our media and for our sound. So, aren't you? This is George Nassar and Jennifer and Phil and Cindy DeFrancisco, and they're responsible for our first responders, which is what happens at the end of the service. Now, I'm going to recognize, I'm going to ask you to stand, but I didn't ask them to come up front. Michelle Davidson's responsible for dance. Ron McCall is responsible for visual arts. Of course, we have other worship forms, the Amy French and Robbie Maddox. I think Amy just went to get a drink of water, but for worship, and we have people that do presentations on Sundays, and those are all important, and I'm not discounting one or the other. We have Wednesday night classes. We have the keys that are responsible for Tree of Life. Where's the keys? They were here. She's raising her hand there. Joe and Nick have been doing things with outreach. We're going to hear more about that. But Joe, and where was Nick? He was near you. Go ahead, cheer them on. The Sprakers and the Patinos do college ministries. Let's cheer them on. Amy Robertson does food bank ministries. Let's cheer her on. She is not going to sit down right there. Rachel and Tony also do special events. So go ahead. I call all those people the wheels that make the on the bus go running around the rest of the week. So I asked these folks to come up here. Ned Oakey doing Teller Ministries. Go ahead and stand up. That is a Sunday ministry. I'm telling you, we're getting outnumbered, aren't we? I asked these folks if they would help share communion together. And so I'm going to invite them to get the elements. I'm going to invite you to stay in your seats with your kids, and we're going to share communion together. Now, you may be one of those people that have asked me, do I have permission to take communion? Well, at Dwelling Place, permissions get into a lot of issues. And so permissions are granted by the Lord. This communion is about a relationship between you and the Lord. Now, this won't be your normal communion. I might not ever be asked to share again. That's okay. And so you might say, can my child take communion? That's between you and the Lord. Okay, this is a judgment-free zone. Communion is about identifying with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Come on. So that's something between you and the Lord. You might say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, when we release the kids, I'm going to go over into the cafe. You just get up like you're going to the bathroom and meet me over there, and we'll have a good discussion, and you can walk out changed today, taking communion with the identification of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Amen? It's for everyone. They put me on a time limit, so you're going to have to meet me. They'll work it out. Just start passing. Quickly. I'm on a time limit. Why? Because God's appointed lots of things for today. If you want to take communion, do. If you don't, don't. This is something between you and the Lord. You know, I've had the opportunity to go to lots of funerals the last 2 weeks. I'll keep talking because you guys can do two things at once. I see you all worship and talk all the time. So I've been going to funerals, and at those funerals, I've come to two conclusions. One conclusion is that at my funeral, there's going to be a speaking time limit. You have 7 minutes. If you can't say it in seven, don't say it. It's just not worth it. Someone's appreciating me. Number two, I want people. I know that there's going to be lots of emotions at the funeral, every end of the spectrum. Some going to, people are going to say, thank the good Lord he's gone on to heaven.
No,
oh, there will be. So, and some people are saying, gosh, I wish I had one more day. I want people to walk out of my funeral saying, I have a life to live, to be engaged in the Word of God and engaged in the Spirit of God that's living here on earth. There's something for me to do today. He created you with function and with purpose. Come on. The Lord's to be worshiped with our hands and with our feet. To me, communion represents empowerment. I'm going to read this so don't get distracted. There's a first, a place to identify with his death. He died for our sins, to save us, for our destiny, which is worship. He wants to bury our sinful nature so that we can receive resurrection for power to walk on this earth. Amen? So that one day we can walk into eternity. I don't want people at my funeral to serve him because they're scared. It's the want to, not the have to. Come on. He desires that we worship him. And for some of us, it's peace be still. And for some of us, it's like Katie bar the door, hands and feet and running around. And, you know, for some of us, it's standing. And other ones of us, it's jumping. You know, that's worship. That's still casting your crown. Oh, I'm the only person in here. From the posture, that posture which I call worship, we participate with him in what he's doing here on earth. I don't believe communion ends with receiving. See, to me, communion is a place to grow in the Lord. Communion with the Lord doesn't end in our growth, knowledge, and understanding of him and his word. Communion's a place to connect. Someone says, don't yell at us. I'm not. I'm just excited. If Jen Cesario were here and John McDermott weren't in Atlanta, they'd be laughing because communion's about life. Come on. Communion's a place to connect with the Lord, that we may connect with the saints and the unbelievers, a place to connect in his strength with others. Communion's ultimately a place to give. We give to the Lord from the strength of our growth and the connection we're able to give to others in his name and his strength for his glory. Come on. Come on, be excited about communion. When someone else leads it, they'll lead it a different way, but I'm excited. It's a day to celebrate and have a party. Come on, there's no easy buttons with the Lord, because today doesn't look like yesterday and tomorrow's the same as it will be, right? That's a mystery. We don't have time. That's a different sermon, but come on, the mystery of Christ is because there's not an easy button. Come on, in John 13, we read about the Last Supper. Jesus started with washing people's feet. Come on, come on. It was about him serving and him being our role model. He said, I'm doing this to model for you. It's about understanding the greatness and understanding the opportunity. It's about choosing the I get to versus that I have to. Come on, we are saints of God that he's called us to do the get to. How many of y'all were doing the get to this weekend? There were people. Hannah Maddox was here painting the foyer. She was doing the get to. Some of y'all were out on the streets. You were having the get to. In 1 Corinthians, it instructs us to take this in remembrance of him. Who is Jesus? Take this as a proclamation of the saving power of Jesus. It's an outward sign of what's going on the inside. Jeff agrees with me. Sorry, I try to lower my voice. It just doesn't work. Listen, take the bread. In Matthew 26, it says, while they were eating, Jesus, he took some bread. I'll pretend. And after a blessing, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples, and he said, take this, eat it as my body. So, Lord, we say we bless you and we receive it. Amen? When he had taken the cup and he had given thanks, and he said to them, drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink of it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So we say, thank you, and we receive it. Come on. You can pass it to the middle if you need to take action. Don't anybody start collecting them yet. Aren't you glad that he even ends with the hope of eternity? He knew where he was going, and he knew that he was purposed. Come on, and he left us with hope. This is not a solemn activity today. Because the Lord is someone to be excited about. Come on, I'm going to challenge you today. If you haven't been challenged, I'll keep challenging you. You were served the body and blood of Christ by people who serve you every Sunday. They make the wheels on the bus go round and round. I'm just telling you, they do. It's definitely not a one-man show. It's Jesus' show and his saints. I've challenged you last week that I'm asking every family to give 24 hours, 2 hours a month, 24 hours a year to make the wheels on the bus go. And I'm telling you today that you don't do it from an empty place. You just took a fill up. You just took an empowerment. Listen, I know life is hard. The Lord said to me during worship that sometimes we have to sit up in order to get up, in order to step in. It's not about burying our trials or our challenges. It's about stepping in them. It's about taking them with you. But somewhere when our hands are not reached out, like he tells us to worship, we're missing it. We're missing it. So I am asking for your help, but I'm challenging you with the word. There's a place for everyone. Some of us wash dishes, some of us make the food, and some of us do the talking at the dinner table. Some of us do the talking after dinner. The first Sunday of September, we start a new year of giving with our strength. And I'm asking you to prayerfully connect with one of these people and say, that's me. I'm ready to step in and step through, and I feel underqualified and maybe a little undermotivated. But it's for you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor, say amen. Can y'all collect the cups for us? I'm going to release the children and for elementary. If you haven't released the pre-elementary, they've been released. And I'm just going to say to you again, if you're in that place, you say, Tuli, I like your excitement, but I don't quite know what you're talking about. There's lots of motion. You can get up and meet me in the cafe. I'll be there in just a second. I've offered Thanksgiving to Hannah. I haven't offered Thanksgiving to all the people that painted and tore stuff up and put it back together and made the outside look good. That was 2 weeks ago. Can you appreciate those people? You know, you might say, I missed the boat. Oh, no, I'll get another boat. There's lots of boats. Some of you have painting skills. Some of you have flooring skills. Some of you just have money. And I'll take all three because there's more to be done. I believe by January 1st for the whole building to be painted. Come on. How many of you enjoyed walking in that front foyer and just seeing crisp, clean walls? Come on. I will tell you that there is no Young at Heart meeting this week. It has been postponed. It'll be an activity, so just if you know those people, you need to let them know. The volleyball team has been silent all year, but they're in the championship Tuesday, so you better come out. I go just to make sure they're playing in the spirit. But there's a shower for Jess and Andrew today, and I was told to invite everyone and maybe bring cupcakes to share. Now, at 2 o'clock, I will also say that Jeff Belshan, the Lord has been speaking to him this week. He's going to organize a group to serve out in California at the car fires. But he also said, you know, until then, let's be ministering to the people with the flooding. Jeff said to me, I've canceled all my refereeing because the Lord's speaking to me. The Lord's speaking to some other of us to join with him. Come on. Okay, one. Maybe it's not you, but maybe you know the who, and you need to help communicate that out because everyone's not listening. And so the last thing is, it is challenging in different phases, but Beth Bryant Yoder's mother stepped into heaven this week. You may not know Beth Bryant Yoder, but many of us are connected to the Bryant family, and many of us are connected to the Yoder family through the Acres. So if you put all those pieces together, but that service is today, and we didn't have the information to get out by email, so if you need that, see Mitch, because he has it, because I don't. Amen? No, you're going to do that part. I left you to announce. No. So they've tuned my voice out. So y'all going to listen, because the Word of God, Rick's going to talk about, he's going to not talk about, he's going to share with us. We're going to have a second level of communion, and he is also going to share about the word that's coming forth on Wednesday nights and coming forth with a special friend, father in the faith, John Hobbs. So can you tell us about those as you start? Lord, I missed his behind. Lord, the word of God lives in this man. And I just say, come out.
Wednesday nights, cool time. We're dealing with the sovereignty of God. It's just really a cool time about who God is. And sort of Amy was talking about God is in control. And when you say make statements like that, what does it really mean? And that's what we're going into on Wednesday night. And so feel free to come. Also, we are in for a crazy treat. A real good friend of mine, a guy named John Hobbs, is going to be doing a Friday night, Saturday, and a Sunday morning. Hobbs is, how do you describe Hobbs? I mean, he's just crazy. I mean, he's crazy. That's the only way I describe it. He usually runs with this guy named Kenny Davis. Some of y'all remember Kenny Davis. And I was trying to think of I'd go to conferences. I'd do conferences with Hobbs. And Hobbs is one of these guys, you'd go into like a Chili's to get, to get something to eat. And he'll be sharing Jesus with somebody on the corner table over there somehow or another. And Kenny will be singing over him. And so it's awesome. Y'all love it, Hobbs, being here. At one time I said, John, I can't remember how I said it, but I said, John, what do you think about this certain situation that's going on in my life? And Hobbs goes, Saz, I'm convinced something about you. And I said, well, what's that, John? He said, you're saved. He and I got this running joke going on. It says, Mitch goes see Hobbs, I'll ask him, say, ask him if Rick's got saved yet, or ask him if Hobbs got saved yet. So when y'all do me a favor, when Hobbs comes, first thing you ask him, are you saved? Okay? Just do that. So anyway. Somewhere about 14 years ago, somewhere in there, I don't know how long it was. But we got a phone call. Michelle got a phone call from the person who was taking care of her horse, the stables at where she was had her horse boarding at, about her horse getting the strangles. And it's not a cool disease for a horse to get strangles. So it was it was on a Sunday morning, right before it was coming here. And Paula doesn't do animals, but I was supposed to preach that morning, and I'm coming here. So Michelle has to go over to the vet, over to meet the vet with her horse by herself. And she was really kind of up in the air whether the horse was going to make it or not. And so I don't know what's happening. So she's gone there, and I'm here. And I'll never forget that morning. It was a morning where the aisle used to be right here, and the chairs would split right here in the middle. We had broken up into small groups during the middle of the service, and just people were praying in groups. And I was standing right here in the front, just about right here, looking toward the back. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I look up, and that door opens in the back. And Michelle doesn't vary anything. She comes straight down the aisle. While right in the middle of every service is going on, she comes right down the aisle, and she falls in my arms right here. And she's crying, and, you know, and she's, "Dad, you know, horse is going to make it, but, you know, such and such, such and such." But she needed her dad. And, you know, she didn't care where it was at, who was around. All she knew is she needed her dad. Well, why could she do that? Well, you know why she could do that? She had a place in my heart, a place in her relationship with me that supersedes every other relationship on the earth except for Paula. You know, she had a place. And one of the things that is so relevant for us with God, in our relationship with God, is that we have a place with Him. Well, in Scripture, that place is called in Christ Jesus. Now, many times it gets, when you start using these phrases, it gets kind of religious, but it is one of the most foundational things in all of Scripture. And that's what we're going to talk about today, in Christ, our place. And if you don't have a handout, if you would raise your hand. Does everybody have a handout? They don't, so I don't know where they're not. Now, Mitch, Jeff will get them. Here, you can just cut that one in half. So, I don't know how far we're going to get with this thing. I just warn you about that. Because I got one of these sneaky feelings something's... When Tulio was preaching there, I'm just in like in another world trying to figure out what God's saying. But yeah, go ahead and raise your hand again so Jeff can make sure he knows. In Christ. I want you to notice this past scripture. Go to the next slide, please. In John chapter 17, verse 20. Be honest with you, y'all. There's two things that are very important. In fact, 4 weeks ago, I preached 2 sermons in a row about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Two things are the foundations of everything that the Christian faith is about. Christ in us, us in Christ. But I also want you to notice how it is the foundational of Jesus' relationship with His Father. Notice this passage. He says, "I do not ask." This is Jesus praying to the Father in John 17. "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me, through their word, that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you." See, the foundation with Jesus, of Jesus, is everything He did was the Father was in Him, and He was in the Father. And that's when I talked about the corresponding to that. Go to the next slide, please. Christ in us. You know, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in us, hope of glory. This past scripture in Galatians 2:20, "For I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's what? Christ who lives in me. Him in us." And I preached about this and really declared the significance of this is God's presence with us. Let me ask you a question. We've said this before, but I'm going to ask it again so that we can be all in the same place. What is the purpose of us meeting together on any meeting, particularly, but especially on Sunday morning? One overarching purpose of this whole thing's about is for us to see, hear, or feel the presence of God, the revelation of His glory, Christ in us, hope of glory. When we come into this place, I just ask you to really set in your heart that you're here for one purpose, and that's to see who He is. Because if you see who He is, according to 2 Corinthians 3:18, we with an unveiled face as behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord are what? Transformed into the same image as from glory to glory. Don't come here for any other reason except to see who He is. In fact, that's what a relationship with one another is about, is to help each other see who He is. And so that's what everything is about, His presence. Well, Christ in us is His presence with us. Now, here's where things get shifty. because I'm supposed to speak this morning about us in Christ, which has got to do with our place. Like Michelle, she has a place with me. She's, you know, she's in me, in my house. That is her place with me. Our place with Christ has got to do with our place in His house, with Him. In fact, I'll show you that, and then I'll see what Spirit of God's doing, because I'll be honest with you, it's shaky right now. It really is. What's happening here? In a good way, but I just don't know. In fact, how in Christ is so significant that you see there are 87 times in Scripture. Now, y'all, that may be off because I manually counted them. And so, God's not called, He's called me to teach, not count, do math like Burby. And so, there you go. There's number one, Burby. One tack on. Justice. On Wednesday night, here Burby is giving me a hard time, the whole service. I mean, tell me, the whole Bible study. 28 times where there's references to us in Him. And that's not talking about believe in Him or believe in Christ. That's just direct references where it's talking about our place in Him. And also you see four times where it talks about in Jesus. And that's not believing in Jesus, like I said. So 100, and is that 115 times? 100, is that 115, Burby? What is it? 119. Well, I knew it. I forgot the four. That's your tip. So anyway, put that slide off, please. It's just revealing my ignorance there. Lord, forgive me for picking on Barbie in Jesus' name. So, I'm talking about something, yes. This passage of Scripture right here is the foundational passage of Scripture of dwelling place. I was hanging out with Jared and Emily this weekend as we went down to Brevard, North Carolina. God's birthing a church down there with Pam and BJ McDonald, which is really kind of cool. And so we were down there hanging out with them and seeing what God was doing. And Jared asked me, he says, well, where did Dwelling Place get its name? This passage of Scripture. In fact, this whole thing about Dwelling Place is pregnant with revelation about who God is, and it's the foundation of this church. Where it talks about, we're in John 14, 1, where Jesus says, believe in God, don't let your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. Then he makes a statement, he says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. The misconception is he's talking about apartments, mansions, or whatever. It's not talking about that. I've mentioned this many times, so there's no need for me to spend a lot of time on it. But that is not talking about buildings. It's the Greek word monē that's only used one other time in Scripture, and that's in John 14, 23, where Jesus says, he who loves me, the Father and I, will come and make our dwelling place with him. Every one of you is a dwelling place of the Most God. That's why it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. That's Christ in us. That's what this passage is about. It's declaring the foundation. Jesus is declaring the foundation of what the gospel is all about. Christ in us, hope of glory. Then he goes on to say, if it were not so, I'd have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. A place, that's singular, for you, it's plural. If it was mansions or houses, he would use the plural form of place, but there's one place. I go to prepare a place for you, and notice the statement, what he says. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I go to prepare a place for you. Main purpose of it is that where I am, you may be also. I will receive you to myself. If you notice in your notes, I put in parentheses, into. Literally, it's the picture of him receiving us into who he is. It's not talking about him coming again. That where I am, you may be also. Where is that? Well, just hurriedly and real quick. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, verse 19 following. And I don't, go into two slides on and then we'll come back one more slide. Get this. To where I am, you may be also. This is the passage of scripture where Paul's saying that your eyes, your heart may be lightened, which you know what the hope is calling, seeing the riches of inheritance in the saints, seeing the great power toward those who believe. And it talks about how the same power that he used when he raised Christ from the dead, okay, raised him from the dead. He was dead, and he seated him at his right hand, far above rule and authority and dominion. So Jesus was dead. God raised him up and seated him in the heavenly places. That's what God did, the Father did for Jesus. But notice the next slide. That where, remember, I'm going to repeat the John passage, that where I am, you may be also. Notice what it says. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he's loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with him, that where I am, you may be also, made us alive together with him, for by grace have you been saved, raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that where I am, you may be also. See, y'all, before Jesus came, we were aliens. We were separated from the house. You know, we didn't have a place in the house. But when Jesus goes and dies on the cross and breaks down the walls, you know, his blood, his body, like we took today, broke it open so that we can come in into the secret place of the Most High. And y'all, no angel, no demon can say, who let you in here? They go, you know, we go, this is my daddy's house. So when you think in Christ, it's your place, but don't let it be depersonalized. It's your place. It's our place in the Father's house in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus is big. He's important. But this is the amazing thing about him. He's given us everything that he is. Man, that's the most awesome big brother that you could ever be. I thank God for my big brother because I think he was probably the closest representation of Jesus that I've ever seen in a human being. He was constantly, you know, he was 12 years older than me. And so I was always getting in trouble back in those days and doing stupid stuff. And then when I got saved and was coming out of stupidness, I was still doing stupid stuff. And he covered my butt so many times. We'd go to restaurants to eat. He knew I didn't have any money. I'll cover you, Rick. I don't know how much money I owe him. I'm sure he knows now, and he'll let me know. But you know, I think I told y'all this before, but that when Paul was pregnant with Shay, Bud was so much always looking out for me. When Paul was pregnant with Shay, he and Charles would go, and they buy this diamond necklace. And he comes to me and says, Rick, now listen, your wife is about to have a baby, your first son. You need to honor her. I want you to give this to her. Don't tell her who it came from, but you give it to her. Now, y'all, can I tell y'all that when I gave Paula that necklace, I was the greatest thing since night baseball at Wrigley Field. I'm serious. Dude, and guess what? I didn't have anything to do with it, except I gave it to her. I look good. That's it. Isn't that what Jesus does with us? You know, he makes us look good. He empowers us so many ways. I mean, and that's why when you hear 119 times that we hear something about in Christ, in Him, in Jesus, that everything that He says, Rick, you need some help, but I'll pay the price and I'll just give it all to you. Now, you don't have to make a big deal out about it. You just walk in it. Just like I did, like Bud did with me in that necklace. Rick, yes, ma'am. Hold on.
Because you tell that story, because maybe you think you messed up, you've made all the men in here look good because they've done the same thing now.
Cool. Can I tell you, I did it on number two, though, when Michelle was born. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, by the way, if you got a question or anything, don't hesitate to ask a question or something, or speak something. Thanks, April. Christ in us in Christ, our place in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? If you go back two slides, please. One more down. There you go. Oops, there you go. Thank you. I think I skipped some things here. But the summary that I just really want you to think of all what it means to be in Christ Jesus is that where Jesus is in Christ takes where Jesus is from, what Jesus has, who Jesus is, where Jesus is going, and what Jesus can do. And He turns around and He gives it to us.
Sorry. I have a mint in my mouth. So you're doing the whole first on in my Father's house, there are many, many rooms, and I go prepare a place for you. And a lot of stuff going on with Shane. And just the thought that Shane is my oldest, and he's coming to our house to stay tonight to watch his daughter. And when he said, he was, because he hasn't moved into his new apartment yet, and he said, you know, I want to come watch her. You know, I want to be able to watch Riley and so Shannon can go out, but I don't know how to do this. And I said, well, maybe you can come stay here. And his face lit up and his eyes lit up. And that thought that he had a place, but he didn't know it. And it's sad that my son didn't know that that was his place. He had a place in our home. But we do that all the time. We let our guilt tell us that we don't have a place. He's dealing with so much guilt on stuff that he's done and decisions that he's made. And he doesn't think that he has a place in our home anymore. But he does. And our eyes should light up like that, too, when we know that we have a place in our daddy's house.
Come on.
Good word. Good word.
What's Rach talking about? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us draw near with what? Confidence to where? Where's that, y'all? Got it all. I mean, it's not just to have a show. It's so that people's lives are touched. God's Spirit in us. God's Spirit among us. And just because we say the name of Jesus and say a prayer does not mean He's walking among us. That is not a given, y'all. It's two or three are gathered, what? In my name, there we are in our midst. Name means what? Nature and character gather together in all the reality, the nature and character of who He is. That's when He shows up. I don't know this without a shadow of a doubt. He's told me so. He will not show up in the midst where flesh is manifesting lest He confirm flesh. He'll show up when the realities of who He is are showing up, or we're walking in the realities of who He is. But there is another facet of God's presence that there's an invitation for here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, I quoted earlier with Rachel, and she, it's her fault that I'm going to speak this, and Ron's fault. For it says, let us draw near with what? Confidence to where? Where is that? Look at Hebrews 10:19. Don't have the slides on this. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. You know, where is that? Where is that? If you want to interpret Scripture, what's the best way to interpret Scripture? With Scripture. Don't go to a commentary. The best way to, it's cool to go to a commentary, but hopefully a commentary will tell you a passage of Scripture that interprets what you're interpreting. That's the best way to interpret Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, let us draw near. I mean, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Well, what is that? Look at Hebrews 9:24. It says, I'll start 23. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a copy of the true one, but into, get this phrase, y'all, but into heaven itself. Can I say that again? Into heaven itself. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place. Where is the holy place? Heaven itself. Here's my question. Is our faith, is our relation with God earthbound? Is it earthbound? God's calling us where? Into where? The heavenlies. You've got a place there. Looking at Jesse, left go us there. I know Jesse. If all of a sudden Jesse finds out that one of his relatives left him a villa on the Adriatic coast in Croatia, a nice villa sitting up overlooking the Adriatic. I love you're lining up. You know what? I would know Jesse. Jesse would go, Rick, I think I need to make a trip. I'm going to be gone a little bit. I'm going to go hang out at my villa. Wouldn't you, Jesse? Well, y'all, you got something a whole lot better than a villa. It's called the holy place. It's your Father's house. You know, there's servants there, angels who are there ministering spirits to give aid to those who are heirs of salvation. There you have an intercessor, Jesus, who intercedes for you. When the accuser of the brethren is accusing you, he, Jesus, is interceding for you. And he's telling you, all he's telling you is, stand in my place. Tell the devil to shut up. I've won the battle. Shut the door. Keep out the devil. Shut the door, keep the devil in my eye. A curious question. How many of y'all looked that song up after I said that the other week? I did. Allison Simona sent me a Facebook message of it. It was cool. Shut the door. So anyway, God's calling us to go into the heavenlies. Take that place that we have, that Jesus has made a way for us to come into that place. Take all that who Jesus is. Take all that who Jesus is and stand. Somebody's got something. Who's got somebody something? Somebody's got something. Somebody's got something. Something about Jesus. Who's got it? Come on. Bail me out, somebody. Yeah. Can you meet me halfway?
Just came to me, be still and know that I am. I am. be still and be with me.
Amy? Be still. What is that? She quotes that Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am what? If Jesus is declaring that, be still and know that I am God, what is he saying? Be still and know that I am and you're within me. You got a place for there. You got a place there. Be still. Come on, Lord. Well, simple's good, bro.
So, something I've been pondering, I think, over a couple months is, you know, just how culturally, you know, these little things pop up in our, in, just in church culture, you know, like the, just something as simple as the saying that, you know, we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You know, we can't, you know, unless we're heavenly minded, it's impossible to be any earthly good at all.
Hold on. Simonis, I should have you doing this.
We were talking about Hebrews 14, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, 16 he says. And somebody mentioned that sin breaks the confidence. And it came to me that repentance is the answer to that. Simple repentance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
See, I did that when you were on the way. I saved you the steps. The thing I heard earlier that kind of had a lot of oomph on it when Rachel was sharing was, we don't need to earn. We can't earn this place. Some of us might even be exhausted from trying. And I think Jesus just wants you to be still and be at peace and rest from your striving to earn that place that you were created for and you long for anyways. Just enter into it.
Yeah, now you're on it. Now the Holy Ghost is showing it. Go on. Confidence. Sin. Sin. Deal with sin. One other thing, let me just get this out, Mitch. Sin. Second thing, what Joe said is, you know what that is? It's called law. Law of Moses. External actions. If I do it enough, you'll have confidence. You know, many times I'm dealing with people who are dealing with strongholds, like an area of lust or pornography or goofy stuff like that. And they feel like it, that they can do it, get victory from whatever that addiction is long enough, they'll have confidence. Well, anytime you play the time game with God and do enough, that's a law thing. And what you're doing is putting your confidence in you and not in Christ Jesus. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such confidence we have it is not of ourselves, but of Him. Of Him. And that's where I think God is calling us to come into the most holy place. By Jesus.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the scripture. You know, Hebrews 11 is a faith passage. I mean, we've been talking about that the last couple weeks, but it says in Hebrews 12, right after that, it says, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, I'm like, they know their place. Like, they already have it. They're there. So what are we called to come out from? So let us, therefore, lay aside every sin and weight that hinders us from running the race, from taking our place. Throw it aside. Lay it aside. Why? Because we have a place in the Father's house that we need to get to, that's our place. It's, you know, sometimes we try to find our place, you know, so many times here, and, you know, there's a facet of, yeah, finding our place here, but really, maybe we've got it out of order. Maybe we need to find our place there. Amen. First, because we're going around trying to get other people to make sure that we have a place here, and we fight for it, we're trying to grab stuff when God's saying, lay all that stuff aside. Lay the sin and weight down so that you can take up your place. The great cloud of witnesses, that's what I feel like sometimes. That's what they're saying. Mitch, just take your place. You got it. It's yours.
we got it now. We understand fully, but here's your place.
It's good, Mitch. Hey, I'm gonna put a commercial in here. If you're new here today, visiting today, let me just say something to you. Or I just say this to everybody here today. Y'all, to me, this is church family when we can interact together. Even if it's a corporate worship service. It's treasures for me to hear the things that are said. Then, in fact, some of the greatest revelations in my heart have come when brothers or sisters have said a passage of Scripture. And then we can agree together for God to move in our midst. Jeff said something I want to, in closing out, that about, how did you say it? You said,
he wrote out a check when he died on the cross. It's like grandma gave you a check. She gave you a gift, everything you need. My wife's healing's included in that. And he paid the price. We just have to sign the check. And this whole thing of, you know, we try to, I think Mitch was touching on, you know, we're trying to strive, you know, to find our place. And it comes out of being before Christ and knowing our place and laying down condemnation. I mean, we got to be heavenly minded. We got to know our place in the heavens so that we can walk out the things on this earth.
There you go. Yeah, I knew it. I had to get it from you. Yeah. Notice it first says right here. In the middle of it, it says, by grace have you been saved and raised us up with him. Can you say this with me? I have been raised with him. Seated with him in the heavenly places. Listen to this verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Some of us in this room have gotten distracted, and like I said earlier, your faith and your walk with God has been earthbound. It's dealing with what you see, what you hear on the earth, rather than in the heavens. God's calling us to go into the heavens, that our faith is a heavenly faith. As it goes on, it says, set your mind on things above. The Christian cannot be more heavenly minded than no earthly good. That is not a true statement. That can be a religious statement. Set your mind on things above where Christ is seated, not on the earth. Here's the key statement. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me just say this to y'all. If you're seeing yourself in relationship to what you do or why you can go there, you're missing it. Satan has deceived you. God's wanting us to see the realities of Jesus and everything that he's given to us and to receive it by faith. Who let you in here? That's what I hear Satan say. Who let you in here? Who let you in here? There was this lady, I heard this testimony somewhere in ancient history. I don't know the details of this, but it was some queen who had something happen where she was kidnapped and she was taken to a foreign country. And they kind of ditched her in the country. And she just lived as a pauper. Well, this country came back under the rule of the kingdom that she was a part of. But it was known throughout her kingdom that she was lost and she was presumed to be dead. But there was the person who was just a confidant to her and her family. It was sort of like the main butler or something that I understand in the story that was just a treasure, sort of like Batman. And, you know, what's the dude's name that's the butler? Huh? Alfred. Sort of like an Alfred type dude. But anyway, he's out in the kingdom and he's going around and all of a sudden he's out, and all of a sudden he sees this lady, this young lady, that she just something about her. She just takes his eyes. And so he, you know, it's like in a crowded city, and he goes over, and she's tattered, her hair's tattered, her clothes are tattered. But for some reason, he's drawn over there to her, and he goes over to her, and he looks her in the eyes. And she's been gone so long that she's forgot totally who she is and who even this guy is. And he looks in her eyes, and he starts calling her by name. Calling her by name. And it comes to her who she is. And so God is saying, many of us, you know, we forgot who we are. We don't know who we are, maybe. And so we're living out in the midst of the world. You're tattered, you're beat up, and your father's going, come home, come home.
What I feel in my own heart is the Christianity is impossible to live. We can't be in the heavenly places until we start hearing his voice. We have to know who he is. And when you learn to surrender and trust on a daily basis, then you could have that abundant life, because then you become, you crucified with Christ, but you start identifying because you're talking through the Spirit. When we talk through the flesh and the soul of man is this lust of the eyes and pride of life and my rights. But when you're talking through the Spirit, you identify with his Spirit. You start speaking. You come alongside with, and this is how you relate to Christ. When you hear his voice and you start walking the walk of faith rather than just you trying to do it yourself. And that's how I identify and be in the heavenly places. It's not anything I can muster up on my own, being nice and knowing all the scriptures. I still have to make the choice of hearing the voice and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen, brother. Let's, George, can we get the first responders up here? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together. We can just be together. Lord, you're calling us, Lord, to shed earthbound faith, earthbound walk with you, Lord. Lord, where our minds have been tainted by the voice of the world, the voices of our flesh, and we can't hear the yearnings of your Spirit calling us up, calling us out, so that we can come to heaven and get heaven's perspective about the situation and circumstances in our lives. Lord, there's some in here that have been wandering aimlessly, and they're in the world, and they feel tattered, they feel beaten up. And Lord, you're looking through the mess. You see, your word says in Hebrews chapter 2 that you're not ashamed to call us brothers. Just like Rachel shared earlier, Lord, she didn't make her son get it all together before he came back to get help. Lord, your love for us is so much that you have made a way. You've given us all that who Jesus is. And then we can come and receive it by faith. But Lord, we can't hold on to the things of the world and hold on to things of you. So Lord, we just speak right now, people release of the things that have been holding them down. They can come confidently, Lord, into the heavenlies.
Just want you to stand and... I just have one more word in relationship to just keep hearing that song that we sang earlier, how he loves us, and just that phrase, we don't have time to maintain this regret. And I felt like maybe there's some people just hanging on to regret. That's the sin and weight that is hindering you from running the race, taking the place, going into the heavens, going to that holy place. Regret will chase us down all of our lives, and we just need to get rid of it this morning. So I'm just going to pray for that as well. And also, I just encourage you, if the Lord's already speaking to you, come and get prayer. And we're just going to release you to do that. And just want to just pray this over us, Lord. I just want to pray right now
that you would release regret, Lord, in this place, God, that the weight and the encumbrance, Lord, that it's created in our lives, Lord, that we keep look, it keeps us looking back instead of looking to the place that we have with you, the place that we have in the heavenlies, Lord. And Father, I just pray right now, regret be gone in Jesus' name. Just break off. And I just encourage you in your spirit, your heart, just release it. Just release things that, God, man, I wish I would have. Man, I wish I'd have done this. I should have, I could have. Lord, we just break off the shoulda, woulda, couldas. And Lord, we just look to you this morning. The rest of that scripture says, because you're the author and perfecter of our faith. God, that you orchestrate, Lord God, just the redemptive power, the reconciliation that it takes to get us back to you. And to really not only get us back to you, but then you give us everything. You give us that place. You seat us in that same place. And so, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. Thank you for that revelation. And I just pray this week would be a week full of the heavenlies, Lord, full of just heavenly place in Christ, taking up that place. So, Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We bless you for it. We just ask these things that would be done, Lord. Again, the regret would be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. There's people up here to pray this morning, Greenberg area. So if you have any questions about those two things, come find me.